listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Mountains of central British Columbia to you listening around the world. This, my friends, is Spaced Out Radio. I am your host, Dave Scott, sitting in the captain's chair of SOR headquarters. We welcome you to tonight's show on our terrestrial affiliates around North America, digitally on TalkStream Live, Odyssey Radio, and KPNL. All of our archives are free. Join us at youtube.com/spacedoutradio. Do old Davey the favor, hit that subscribe button. You can follow us on Twitter at Spaced Out Radio, Instagram at Spaced Out Radio Show, and on TikTok at Spaced Out Radio. Our website, spacedoutradio.com. We have a plethora of features for you. Rock out to Bumblefoot, read Shirky Poo's Newswire, check out our swag as well. Tonight's show is brought to you by Chive Charities. Help make the world 10% happier by visiting Chive Charities today. You can find them on our website. We got a power show for you tonight. We're going deep into the UFO world with Science Bob. Dr. Bob McGuire will be here momentarily. Then in hour number three, we have our good friend, the Swamp Dweller, with another spooky story from the swamp. We also have fedora-wearing John Hudson with the UFO report. Shirky Poo will have the news to cap off the night. Every month we bring in Dr. Bob McGuire, a gentleman we call Science Bob around here, who takes us on a scientific journey of everything regarding the paranormal phenomena. It's not about the woo, it's more about the who, what, where, when, why, and namely how. Now, Science Bob has quite a resume. He has over 20 satellites in space with his name on it. He is former adjunct professor at Virginia Tech University. He is a math and science genius. And you know what? He looks good when he wears a fedora as well, but he doesn't have it on tonight. But who knows? Maybe he'll get it. But we love Science Bob around here. He comes in and really breaks down, you know, the real sides of what is going on with the scientific pursuit of the paranormal. Science Bob, always a pleasure to have you on Spaced Out Radio, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing super duper, Dave. I really look forward to tonight. I don't think we need a guest, even though I love having them. We have a ton of stuff to cover, so let's get to it.
Absolutely. And first off, I want to say thank you for you and your lovely wife, Sharon, joining us in Las Vegas for the first annual SOR fan party. I hadn't seen you in a couple of years, and I'll tell you, that big bear hug we gave each other, it was well worth it, my friend. We waited a lot of time because you have become one of my mentors, best friends in this field, and to be able to spend some time with you again really meant a lot to me.
Oh, Las Vegas was great. I just love meeting the fans. And I love all of our friends that work with us at SOR, and it was just a hoot. And now you and then Lizzie Borden and I can do a square dance in our overalls.
Yes, yes. Science Bob got me overalls. Actually, his wife, Science Sharon, picked up a pair of overalls for me. You know, I honestly felt a little redneck there, Science Bob, a little Alabama
all right.
redneck there, so it felt pretty good. And I may even wear them tomorrow when I go out in the forest, going to cast my new footprints that I found of Sasquatch.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Yes, I mowed the lawn before I went on my business trip in my overalls and got dust and mud all over them.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Now, Science Bob, we got a lot to talk about tonight because this is a show that usually goes very fast, but I think tonight is going to move even faster considering what is going on in the UFO world. And I'm going to start this off. We saw the demise of Skyfort, which was a company that was with Sean Cahill and a couple of his cohorts, really working for Lou Elizondo. But now that they have decided to shut things down, that their company is no longer necessary because the mission was fulfilled. And that mission is what we see happening next week with the public congressional reports. So with Skyfort, many in the UFO field didn't know a lot about it or what its purpose was. Fill us in on that.
Well, so we basically know a little. We don't know all of the members. We don't know who, or if it's a stock-held company, we don't know who all the stockholders are. I don't even know if it's an LLC, S-type corporation, or even if it's incorporated at all, or it's an LLC. We don't know. But we know that Sean Cahill and Lou and Lou's wife were very much involved with the executive leadership inside Skyfort, and it was all about having a vehicle to promote opening up of the news and reports from the Pentagon and the intelligence community about the UAP, and if at all possible to do those things necessary to get something useful out of the new knowledge. And now they feel they succeeded. Look, one of the things we've constantly wanted, we are finally going to get. And Benny Thompson, who is a congressman, he's on the House Select Committee on Intelligence. He runs a particularly powerful subcommittee. He's called two people from the Pentagon onto the carpet. And the thing this does is when they come before Congress, they cannot lie. They might try, but if they lie, that is a federal crime. You cannot lie to Congress in the Capitol when you're testifying and it not be a crime unless they are granted immunity and allowed to lie. Not, from what I see from both the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence and the House Intelligence Committee, they're out of patience. They've had it. They're just not going to listen to bunkum anymore. I mean, Rubio and Senator from Virginia and Senator Gillibrand and Benny Thompson and the Congressman Burchett from Tennessee, they've had it. They're just not going to listen to bunkum anymore. They're going to demand answers. And the thing I hope we get is questions from people sent to their Congress critters. Now, especially if your congressman is your personal congressman is on the House Select Committee on Intelligence. If your congressman, call them, tell them where you live, tell them what your name is, and demand answers. Tell them you're tired of waiting on answers. Everybody and their brother is seeing this phenomenon is showing up all over the place. And furthermore, you want to know history. We should not buy that UFO history began in 2004. Because that's the BS we're getting from the Pentagon and the intelligence community. It did not begin in 2004. We know for a fact it didn't begin in 2004. At a minimum, half the capital of the United States saw a bunch of UFOs in 1952. And, of course, we all have beliefs about 1940s with Foo Fighters and 1947 with Roswell. But we know for a fact that the entirety of Washington's establishment was upset deeply in 1952 to the point where lots of things were put in motion. And all the projects, Grudge, Sign, and Blue Book, and so forth, had their genesis in the 1952 sightings, which scared the crap out of everybody in the Capitol. We don't want them to be able to sell the narrative that interest in UFOs began in 2004. That means tell your congressman to ask the right questions. Ask the right questions. What do we know now? That's what we want. What do we know now? And don't tell us any lies.
Bob, the one thing that I find baffling about it, and I'm going to use Congressman Tim Burchett here as an example. he was on an interview on Fox News about a week ago where, I mean, he almost pulled a Khrushchev slamming his shoe on the desk, talking about how he can't believe the Pentagon and the United States military had been lying to the American public about this subject for decades. And when was asked about disclosure, he goes, we have a right to know about everything from Roswell on forward. He goes, that's what we need to know. That's what we need to get out in the public. I don't think that he fully comprehends that there's going to be a lot of secrets that cannot come out.
That's true.
And
I completely agree.
And where I'm going with this is, why is there now such an anger within the government elected officials about this subject when this subject has been broached for decades?
Yeah, so they're tired of being lied to. And so they are completely convinced, and they're easily convinced. They have credible people in trust, people that donate to their campaigns, people who hold office or run businesses in their districts and states that are calling them saying, look, we're sick of this. We're seeing this stuff. It's all around us. We see it ourselves. We're tired of being lied to, and we want some answers. And you say those kinds of things to your congressman, and you're more likely to get answers. And that's just the way it works in the United States. And we need to put pressure on them to get the job done and tell us something. I believe they have something to tell. I'm not going to steal anyone's thunder, but I am given to understand that Representative Burchett has been holding meetings in which he is saying stuff which is truly shocking. I mean, shocking. Okay, so I believe that we are about to see shocking stuff come out because Tim Burchett is not going to put up with crap anymore.
Okay, but he's one voice.
But he's a loud voice.
Oh, I agree with you on that, Bob. But he was also in that interview talking out of both sides of his mouth because he said something on that interview that basically said, the things I have seen are unbelievable. He goes, I can't talk to you about it right now. Well, hold on a second here, Tim. We have been getting that I have seen things that are going to blow humanity's minds, but I can't talk about it for decades. We got it out of 4 years out of Lou Elizondo. No offense to Mr. Elizondo. Okay, the public, never mind just the American public, but anybody who has a pinky toe in this game is tired of hearing, I know what's going on, but I can't tell you.
Well, we need to demand that it stop. Call your congressman, especially if on the House Select Committee on Intelligence, and tell them, you don't want to hear anymore. I know something and I can't tell you. Here is my experience in 3 decades plus of working in the intelligence community in support of the Department of Defense and the United States government. In every classified issue, there are nuggets of really useful information which are completely unclassified. So let me give you an example. We saw a UFO fly over this. You don't have to say how you saw it. You don't have to say what instruments you used. You don't have to reveal the instrument's capabilities to acknowledge the existence of something weird happening. And furthermore, if you're worried about revealing capabilities, degrade the evidence enough that you don't reveal the capabilities and say, this is a degraded version of what we have, and we'd like to show it to you. You have to understand that we have to protect our national security and not reveal our capabilities to our adversaries. So we're going to show you this degraded version, and it will show you clearly that there is something really weird going on, and we're going to get to the bottom of it. We can demand that because there are nuggets of unclassified in every classified problem.
Okay, But the idea behind it is, well, going into those talks, I would assume that any congressperson or any senator would have to sign an NDA, non-disclosure agreement, about what is being discussed before entering that type of information or informative meeting, correct?
That's not correct.
Okay.
So the people working on the problem have to sign NDAs. The ability to look at classified information by the President of the United States and Congress and Senate is granted them by the authority of the American people electing them. I mean, that's just the way it is. They get their authority by being elected. Like, there have been people elected to office, let's say sometime in the last 10 years, that I wouldn't tell how to find my dog, but they still had access to classified information and even control authority over classified information because the American people elected them. So that's how it works. Citizen oversight through their elected representatives allows these people to see and hear classified information and to inside the Congress talk about it with impunity. Now, they're not going to do anything crazy because it will harm the national security. So they have the ability to order reclassification or study of declassification of things that heretofore have been classified. And I got to tell you, Dave, overclassification is a national disaster. It's just ridiculous. Things are classified just because people want to keep them secret from the people in the next office. And so I'm just had it with that. We need to declassify stuff and let the American people in on some of what's happening.
Well, it's going to be very interesting tonight as we move forward, and a lot of speculation that is going to come out of Washington, D.C. over the next few days here. And it is a few days, and I think there are a lot of people, Bob, who are very, very excited about trying to figure out what is going on. The phones are ringing off the hook around the UFO world, trying to get any type of scoop possible. Now, normally I don't ask questions this early in the show from the audience, but I think this one from Evan really pertains to what we're talking about here. It's not Evan here. It is SB Misfits here, who is asking, Bob, if you were called to the stand, would you share some crazy stuff? Just trying to gauge what you know or have seen but can't share.
So, I have been out with the military on several occasions, and I have seen strange stuff. But because of the nature of the operation, I can't tell you what I've seen or heard. And that's just it. But I'm tired of this. I'm tired of it. We gotta have the American people who pay us to do jobs for them have some access to the information. Let's suppose I'm on a carrier and I'm in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. I know we're just tooling around and I see something weird flying and we get some of it on camera. Why is that classified? We should be able to tell the American people about it. You don't want to tell the American people and the rest of the world, including our adversaries, the capabilities of all the classified systems that are on that carrier that are there to protect it and help them conduct the necessary operations they do against our adversaries in both protection and on offense. You don't want to do that, but there are things about me seeing something weird or hearing something weird that we ought to be able to tell. We ought to be because observational science is the notation of things happening. Phenomenon of whatever type happening with the best evidence you can gather, and you don't need to divulge classified information to say, I saw this and here's about what it looked like. And here's the things I'm allowed to tell you. And we should have a thorough review of the amount of classification that is being levied on this information and the American people are sick of it because they're seeing the stuff with their own two eyes.
I don't blame them. I don't blame them. And it's not just the American public, Bob. It is literally the public around the world. I mean, we see it opening up here in Canada, which I know we will get into it later on in the show. We see it becoming conversation across the pond in Europe. We know what's happening in South America. Brazil has been very open about it. There is, we have heard Lou Elizondo speak recently, that both Russia and China are conducting their own UAP studies. So, I mean, this is becoming a world phenomenon. Japan opened up saying that they are officially studying UAP. You know, so this is something that we do have to pay attention to. It's not going away. This isn't just a fringe movement anymore, Bob, as we got about 2.5 minutes.
Well, the facts are that the Internet changed everything. Smartphones and Internet changed absolutely everything, and that is one great T-shirt, Dave. Everybody wants to go to the store and buy one of those T-shirts, but the facts are, if the information covers the world in under a second, I take one picture, I put it on Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, whatever, and it's over the entire world. It is impossible to keep this stuff secret. So get over it and tell us what you know about it.
Is it that simple, though?
It is. It is that simple. Here's what happened. Here's how it happens. Because I've witnessed it happen for decades while working for the government. People are afraid of making a mistake. So they overclassify. And then they won't even say what color toilet paper is in the bathroom. I mean, literally, it's just that I'm giving you a ridiculous example, but it is illustrative of what is happening inside and around these classified issues. There's no need to classify what color toilet paper we use. Or there's no need to classify lower grade pictures or sensor data from something anomalous. You want to say, we have higher quality sensor data that proves to us that we don't have a clue where this came from. We don't have a clue how it operates. We're not allowed to say for national security reasons, but by golly, this is not ours and it's not anybody else's on the planet.
Well, isn't that the idea, though, as we hear a lot of these politicians talking about threat narrative again, Russia, China, that topic seemed to end about 8-10 months ago.
Yeah, I think we're done. I think we're done with China and Russia. Look, you're not going to tell me. You're not going to tell me that you believe Russia has access to things that propel themselves with no obvious means of propulsion and can accelerate at hundreds of G's and go thousands of miles an hour in the air and above the speed of sound in the water, and they got a bunch of guys running around with shoulder-fired rockets blowing their whole armies up in Ukraine. This is not logical. This stuff is not from China or Russia. It's just not.
We're going to continue on with the impact that UFOs may bring to the world. Will it hurt the economics? Will it hurt defense industries? Will it hurt the energy sector? Religion? All with Science Bob. When we return on Science Bob and Friends, right here on Spaced Out Radio. Now, for our YouTube audience who is here every night, there's probably over the next little bit here going to be a lot of repetitive questions to different people that you've heard me ask quite a bit lately. So just bear with me. These are questions that we have to get through because they do have impact to what everybody is saying. So that's the reason why you may hear me get into a subject like the financials and all that kind of stuff. Just bear with me, and we will make it a good show for you all. There. I said it. Mm-hmm. Lee Pepping, how are you, man? Miss Dill Pickles, how you been doing? Scary Gary, please give us a beard update if you don't mind. We need a beard update. All right. Who else is here? The hearing will be held live on YouTube, believe it or not. Mark H., how you doing? Welcome. Dim-di-dim, only because I like saying it. All right, well, thank you for the beard update, Scary Gary. yes, we do. Bill WD40 in the Spreaker chat says, we need a T-shirt in the store that says, breakfast foods are for breakfast. I agree with this. I totally agree with this.
Bull.
Oh, you're just ill. You're just ill.
I want me to, some scrambled eggs. Midnight snack scrambled eggs.
Well, when you meet someone in Vegas who used to work at a few very private military bases, and he messages you saying, we have to have a talk soon. God, I love this life, Bob. Love this life sometimes.
It's fantastic, isn't it? So, and knowing that you're stirring up so much crap that they don't want to let you inside anymore makes my day.
That's enough to make a guy happy. That's enough to make you happy.
That and all these great people listening to us. Yeah, you got a really good audience, and they're very loyal.
I'm not gonna lie. I think the best hair in Vegas went to Kira. Kira, I think, had the best hair in Vegas. You went mute. You muted yourself, Bob.
Sorry, I accidentally tapped the wrong button. And I got the best hug from Kira, and I'm going to host a glass of water and drink it with her.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun. Vegas was so much fun.
Yes. We're still working out the details for next year.
That'll be good.
We know it's going to be May 19th to 21st. And we're going to get something on our website here probably within the next month. And you can start registering for Vegas ASAP. Thank you, Bob, Vashti Impaler, and Vaughn for the Super Chats. Kicking things off tonight. It's a great way to support what we do on this show on a nightly basis. So thank you so much. And we're going to go here in about 5 seconds. Second half hour coming up. Second half hour of Spaced Out Radio is now underway. Good to have you with us. My name is Dave Scott. Very much appreciate earning your listening ears wherever you are on this beautiful planet we call Earth. Want to remind you that you can check out our free archives at youtube.com/spacedoutradio. Do old Davey the favor. Hit that subscribe button. Our website, spacedoutradio.com. We have a plethora of features for you. Rock out to Bumblefoot, read Shirky Poo's Newswire, check out our swag as well. Follow us on Twitter at Spaced Out Radio, Instagram at Spaced Out Radio Show, and on TikTok at Spaced Out Radio. We continue on tonight with Science Bob on Science Bob and Friends, where we are joined once a month by Dr. Bob McGuire, and we take a look at the serious side of the phenomena we call the paranormal. Science Bob, welcome back.
It's good to be back, Dave, and I love this second Wednesday every month. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I love it too, my friend. Absolutely love it. All right, Lou Elizondo a couple weeks ago said on this show that there is a great restraint happening in Washington, D.C., because many politicians, even the ones that are supporting the research and the transparency of the UFO world, still have some grave concerns about a number of issues. How is it going to affect the economy? How is it going to affect the defense budget? How is it going to affect people? How is it going to affect the religious on this planet where, let's face it, you know, North America may be becoming more and more agnostic each and every day, but half this planet, Bob, still preaches to one or more religious deities. I mean, that's over 4 billion people. And
yeah, I totally agree.
And there are a lot of big questions, because the one thing I think people forget, even though the United States government is going to try and make this an American problem, as they usually do, this is a worldwide problem, Bob.
So again, the American taxpayer pays the American intelligence community and the American Department of Defense to protect the American people and our assets. So it is not the job of taxpayer-supported entities to figure out how UFOs are affecting France, unless and until France invites us to come over and check things out with them. So I'm just telling you, the focus is, and the fact, what are the facts? The facts are we have the largest set of sensors of any intelligence community in the world. We have the largest military, the most capable military by far, and the revelations we've seen in the last month and a half of the new capabilities coming on board our ships at sea and airplanes in the sky. I'll give you an example. The directed energy weapons are being deployed, and they're there to take out all the things that, say, Vladimir Putin's been bragging about for the last 6 months. So he's bragging about something he's invented, and we can already take it out of the air. Okay, so just let them keep bragging. We're just going to keep going. I mean, the military and the intelligence community of the United States is here to protect the American people and the American assets. However, we cannot say that this is only a U.S. problem. We want to work with like-minded allies and collect information that we all can use. Now, the thing that's typically goes on in these collaborations is you scratch my back, I scratch yours. So the issue is, what can we share of what we know with what ally and under what circumstances? So there's some care. But there's no reason why, as I said in the last half hour, there's a lot of stuff that's unclassified. So we can share stuff that's unclassified. There's classified stuff that we share with our allies all the time, because they share. We have agreements on sharing classified information with our allies. We need to get up off it and figure out how to work on this. Now, what are the facts? President Obama and former CIA Director John Brennan and other people have come out and say, hey, we're seeing stuff. It's buzzing around our, Obama says, buzzing around our military and our bases, and we don't know how they work or where they came from or what they're here for. I mean, that's something that it is the Department of Homeland Security, the Department of Defense, and the U.S. Intelligence Committee, community's job to find out. And Congress has said, through the National Defense Authorization Act and the budget they passed, by golly, you're going to do it, and we're calling you on the carpet.
How much does the military, the alphabet agencies, have to give in? How are they going to be able to hold back a lot of their secrets that they want to keep? Because I think a lot of fear also, in talking to some insiders, Bob, they aren't sure how the American public would react to knowing that the American military or the alphabet agencies are holding on to alien bodies, allegedly, or crash retrievals, or anything that confirms that there is some other society visiting our world.
Okay, so it's just time, Dave. I mean, the American people largely believe all those things are true. They largely believe all those things are true. Three quarters of the Christians in the world are Catholic. The Vatican has come out and welcomed our alien brothers, and they would preach to them and try to save them. I mean, it's they are God's creation, and according to the Vatican, and therefore they can be saved. So I mean, it's like these institutions, in their own best interest, are going to assimilate the information that is released and figure out how to mitigate the negative consequences of the release of this information. And I think that's mostly what's happening, is they're trying to decide how much and how fast, not whether or not to do it. So I think there was, for a long time, a cabal put together to shut it down completely. And these cabals had many influences, religious, economic, and so forth. Because let's face it, if tomorrow I found zero-point energy and I could take a banana and power New York City, well, all the electric companies, gas companies, et cetera, are going to have a problem, but the world will be a lot better off. So we have to figure out how do we transition from one thing to the other. And we just need to do it responsibly. That's number one. Number two, many of us have read things like Witness to Roswell and these kinds of books. And the kind of consistent theme in things like Witness to Roswell and other books like it, are talking about crash retrievals and alien bodies, is the military and government behaved abysmally. They were horrible. My opinion is they broke the law. They violated people's civil rights. If the claims in those books are true. So there's ways to handle all of that. And I think it's not quite as easy as some of the suggestions your guest last night said and we've heard elsewhere. There will be no such thing in the United States as an effective truth and reconciliation event. The reason being, I and all American citizens can go into court and sue the crap out of people. Okay, that has nothing to do with the law. So if they violated laws, they can be given immunity by the President of the United States or whoever. But nobody can stop people from suing. And so we're going to have a collective decision-making process on how we bring this out. We don't want to trash people who were trying to do the best they could in very, very difficult circumstances. The people who did Roswell were worried about the Soviet Union and all the crazy stuff it was going to be doing. So they did the best they could, and they did some things wrong. So we want to say we understand, we want to know the truth, here's what we're going to do. We're going to ban all lawsuits, and we're going to forgive stuff so long as you come in and tell us the truth. I mean, we just got to come up with a process that works, and we figure out how to slowly let the information out while providing complete context for how the information was gathered, what we believe it actually means, what we actually know. Do we know who flies the triangles? Do we know who flies the Tic Tacs? Do we know who flies the flying saucers at Roswell? What do we know? How do we know it? What have we learned? What can we do with it? How can it help humanity? How can we keep it from harming humanity? We want to act responsibly and stop breaking the law, trying to keep a secret.
Okay. That's an easy answer to say, give people immunity. Whether it's Lou Elizondo, whether it's Chris Mellon, whether it's James Lukacsky, or anybody else about this topic. We know that that's the easy way out. We know that that's also likely not going to happen, considering the secrets that are out there. Bob, I just don't see that even being a possibility on the table. We may cry for it, but I don't even see that coming to fruition.
Well, I got to tell you, I just believe that the people on defense, the Defense Appropriations Committee, the Armed Services Committee, the Intelligence Committees, and elsewhere
I don't think they're going to tolerate the constant stonewalling. And all they need to do is get a guy, a gal in front of them and ask them a question and tell them, you will not lie. You will tell us the truth. And it's going to be hard, Dave. It's going to be hard for them to avoid telling what they know. And we have to insist that they do not maintain the fiction that UFO interest began in 2004. They have to tell us some truths, and we have to be understanding about how the stuff is rolled out. But there are basic truths that can be told and should be told, and say we're trying to decide how to package this information in consumable pieces and tell us the bloody truth.
I understand that. But there's also real life issues on this. One of those that we haven't touched on is the economy. I mean, confirming that there is alien life here could do dangers to the economy.
Well, I do not believe that we are served by denying truth. I believe that we are best served when we acknowledge truth and figure out how to fold that truth into the systems that we use to run our planet. I just think the best way forward is based on truth. Because okay. if you're basing your way forward on false, misleading information, you're not making correct decisions.
I get that, and I appreciate you saying that. But the public will agree to disagree whether or not the public is ready for that. We will agree to disagree on that. As we got about 10 minutes here before we got to go to break at the top of the hour, Science Bob and Friends is the show for tonight with Dr. Bob McGuire. Bob, one of the other things I wanted to ask you regarding these hearings is Lou Elizondo had stated that we're probably going to see more names coming out in the near future to the public regarding this subject, people just like him who have been researching the phenomena for a number of years within the Pentagon. Do we need more Lou Elizondos, especially after the way that Lou has pretty much said sayonara to the UFO world publicly?
I don't believe we need a person with as high a profile and as Elizondo, because Elizondo acted as a patriot. He really did. He put himself out there at great risk to himself, and we know of harm that has come to him and his family. I don't mean physical. I'm talking about emotional, financial, etc. Harm has been done to Lou, but he operated on the premise, the same one I just gave you. That our government inside the United States works best when decisions that are made are based on reality, when you are basing your decision making on real facts. And we see misinformation being used to distort things all the time in Washington, D.C. and elsewhere around the world, and it does not serve us well. It's time to end the misinformation and base the decisions we use to govern ourselves on real information. And Dave, if there's a miraculous energy system that's going to transform our world and end all carbon dioxide emissions, then we figure out how to compensate those companies and employees who are using coal, gas, etc. to produce energy for the loss of their position, and we figure out other things to do. I don't believe bringing that information out will harm the economy. I believe the economy will explode. And the reason is people will be freed from want and need if something like that came out, and then we'll just go on and do other things. I don't believe lying is helpful. I don't believe preserving bad energy systems when you know they're good energy systems is a good thing. I just don't believe it. I think truth is better than a lie.
And I can see where you're coming from that, but let's face it, though, that is very difficult to try and bring forward, Bob, when you are in a military-industrial complex that wants all the good toys for the next 50 years before they come out to the public.
Well, we have to say no because we have elected representatives who can say no, and we want to ask them to say no.
I got to be careful with asking this question because I don't want to get you in any type of trouble whatsoever. So I'm going to put it as a hypothetical. What do you believe, hypothetically, the United States government does not want to get to the people? Or not the government, but the military and agencies.
Okay. We have cameras. We have radars. We have weapons. We have all sorts of things that we are able to bring to bear on the ground, in the air, and under the water that can tell us where some weird things are happening and can learn things about it. We don't want to tell how those things work and what their actual intent is. What we want to do is say the following is a piece of truth. We are not allowed to say how this truth was gathered, but we will sit here in front of Congress under oath and tell you the following facts are true. Please do not ask us how we learned this truth. And I just think there's ways to easily do that if it's worked out in advance, that the truth can be told without revealing those aspects of how the truth was learned that you believe will hurt the national security.
Okay. Now, I think for most of us, or like me, trying to figure out the puzzle pieces to what you just said, but, I mean, there are toys, if we could call them that, that obviously may not have been, refurbished as of yet, that they are trying to still figure out what to do and how to deal with it, Bob. And that is something that I don't think that the United States military or the CIA or NRO or whoever it is would like to say, hey, by the way, we've got 12 crash retrievals and we're starting to figure out this technology. And by the way, we don't want this to go public and let our adversaries here on Earth know about it as of yet.
Well, that's great. And again, we have crash retrievals. Here's what we're allowed to say, and say we have them. We have bodies. We're not going to tell you what we've learned because we believe it will hurt the national security. And then Congress and the president will decide whether or not that is right, and then if they decide it's wrong, they will order them to do it, and they will follow their orders. And so long as the order is lawful, they must follow it. And because the President of the United States, he can wave a magic wand and declassify the entire thing. Okay, so I'm just telling you, they can be told you will do this and this much. You won't say this, but you can say that. And I just think that the people who have been in charge of these secrets have wanted to say nothing at all. And it's time to say no. That is no longer acceptable. You're going to at least tell us the existence if you don't tell us how you learned of the existence.
So is the Corps of Secrets then in trouble due to Congress?
I believe the decision has been made to reveal the Corps secrets in a slow and reasonable fashion. But it's time for some real stuff. It's time to say yes. We've got some craft, or we've got some aliens. I just think it's time to say that kind of stuff because it doesn't reveal anything about our capabilities to our adversary.
Oh, goodness. Okay. They have done a great job up until this point, Bob, of segregating extraterrestrials from the craft. It's been magnificent that people actually bought that crap. Okay, I've been saying...
I totally agree.
And I still cannot believe that when the TTSA came out and invented this whole thing about spacecraft and then say, well, we can't say that there's aliens on these craft that we do not think are from this world. And people actually bought that. That was scary. Well, that was scary to me.
A lot of people didn't buy it. You didn't buy it. I didn't buy it. Other people like us didn't buy it. And the facts are that it's just not going to be bought. Enough people will not buy it. They will get upset and demand answers. That's how representative democracy works. You call your representative and you demand answers. If enough of us do, we will get some answers. Well, people if we're apathetic and we sit on our couch and do nothing, have a beer and go to sleep, well, hey, nothing's going to get done. It's up to us.
Okay, and I agree with you with 90 seconds to go here before we got to go to break at the top of the hour. Science Bob is our guest. Okay, so do we see the word aliens or extraterrestrials coming out on Tuesday?
I do not know the answer because I believe decisions have been made on how things will be rolled out. But it is very, very interesting to hear the stories I have heard about representatives on the House Intelligence Committee visiting with supporters, religious believers, people in their districts, and talking to them about the things that might be coming out. That's number one. And number two, the Skyfort has said, mission accomplished, we're closing the doors. So something is coming out.
I think that it's going to be very, very keen on the fact that we're not going to hear extraterrestrials or the word alien or off-worlders or whatever. I think that we, on Tuesday, are going to be very disappointed to learn that we're back to talking threat narrative.
So I believe that the threat narrative from an earthly adversary will no longer survive. I believe that what will survive is all of our systems, all of our best minds, all of the people who are in charge of assessing this situation no longer believe the things we are observing come from the planet Earth. I believe that they may say nothing else, but if they say that, it's amazing.
Science Bob and Friends continues in hour number two of Spaced Out Radio right after this. How does this affect America's allies on the UAP front? We'll get more with Science Bob and Dr. Bob McGuire next on Spaced Out Radio. We're looking good tonight.
Yeah, it's great. I'm having fun. This is a good show.
We got 202 people watching right now.
It's great. Let me say hello to them.
Here, you go say hello. I'll be right back. And by the way, tonight's show is brought to you by the letters A and Z. Not Z, Z. Your lucky number, 13 tonight. All right, Science Bob, we got about 90 seconds. Who's come on in here? Human Carl's here. One of our great veterans who listens to this show, Human Carl. We love you, Human Carl. How you doing? And who else is here? Eva. How you doing, Eva? Let's see here. It's it. What is it? Nice to have you back. I think we're caught up. I think we is caught the heck up. And SuperQuest, how are you, buddy? I want to say a big thank you to Science Bob, Vash the Impaler, Vaughn, Surf Jer, and Hank for the amazing Super Chats. It's a wonderful way to support what we do on this show on a nightly basis, so thank you so much. Hi, Thomas Fessler, how you doing, buddy? From Disclosure Tonight, nice to have you here, bud. Lee Pepping, how you doing? And we got about 30 seconds here. Little Deborah, nice to see you. The gorgeous Heidi Lee, good night to you. Stunning Stephanie Jackson, how are you? And we got about 15 seconds. Our store is open on our website. We got some great fun swag for you to pick on up. UFOs and Tacos is a good shirt. You know, Science Bob shirt is a good shirt. And here we go, everyone.
You're listening to Spaced Out Radio with Dave Scott. Follow Dave on Twitter at Spaced Out Radio and on Facebook, Spaced Out Radio Show.
Hour number two of Spaced Out Radio is now underway. Good to have you with us. My name is Dave Scott. Very much appreciate earning your listening ears wherever you are on this beautiful planet we call Earth. Hello to everyone listening in on our terrestrial affiliates around North America and digitally on TalkStream Live, Odyssey Radio, and KPNL. All of our archives are free. Join us at youtube.com/spacedoutradio. Do old Davey the favor, hit that subscribe button. The Desert Clam has set the password for tonight in the SOR Space Travelers Club. YARPA. YARPA is your password. Use it wisely, Space Travelers, as the clam sets the password each and every night right here on Spaced Out Radio. Our website, spacedoutradio.com. We have a plethora of features for you, including Rocking Out for Bumblefoot, reading up on Shirky Poo's Newswire. Check out our swag as well. Follow us on Twitter at Spaced Out Radio, Instagram at Spaced Out Radio Show, and on TikTok at Spaced Out Radio. We continue on tonight with Science Bob and friends. Dr. Bob Aguirre comes in once a month to break down everything to do with the who, what, where, when, why, and how of the ultimate paranormal phenomena. Science Bob, welcome back.
Ah, happy to be here, Dave. So we're having fun tonight.
We have been talking quite a bit about the upcoming hearings, the public hearings, that is, on UAP coming up on Tuesday of next week. And for many of us, it's going to be like Christmas Day all over again. But many of us are preparing for coal in our stockings, much like we got with the DIA report back in June of last year. Bob, what do you see coming out of Washington, D.C. with these hearings?
Okay, so we got a little half measure in the first report because the people involved in writing it were not senior level executives in the Department of Defense and the intelligence community. They were people who were just trying to get the job done because Congress had mandated it, and then Congress got upset. I mean, Kirsten Gillibrand and Marco Rubio and Mark Warner and et cetera in the Senate and others in the House, Benny Thompson, Tim Burchett, they went, screw this. We're not putting up with this. Here, have this National Defense Authorization Act amendment. And the amendment passed with vast majorities in both parties. Okay, so on these committees, and then silently, just like he usually does, it passed the House and Senate, but then silently, just like he usually does, the president signed it, and now it's law. And so that changed things dramatically. They have a list of things they shall do. They shall do it because Congress has ordered them to do it. So we want to look at the letter of the laws and the letter of the budgets and see if they have implemented what Congress mandated. And I'm expecting, just like you are, them to do the least amount possible. But I think it's going to be tough for them to totally avoid. We're coming to the time, Dave, where it's really hard to avoid answering some of these tough questions. And I just think it might be China and Russia has come to an end. That's my opinion. That's where I think we're going. We do not believe this is China or Russia.
Well, I hope it doesn't go that way. And I think for many of us in the UFO community that we don't want to go it going that way either. It seems like a very big waste of time to take things down the China or Russia road once again. I mean, I think it would be incredulous and ridiculous and a giant step backwards regarding this. Is this about technology, Bob? Is it about how they're penetrating craft? Is it about where they're from? Who's talking out there? What is this about?
Okay, so I mean, there's that and other things, but
suppose you're in the U.S. military and you're sitting on an aircraft carrier. And suddenly craft come over and they avoid all of your detection systems and swoop by and come near you. It's always a concern that maybe China or Russia can learn something about how to spoof and come near our systems. And we would hate for them to learn something about how to fool our systems and come near us, because that would put our sailors and our hardware at risk, and therefore the national security of the United States at risk. So you see, it's a complex set of interactions that are being navigated. And so, but again, it just makes no sense to say we're still trying to figure out whether it's China or Russia when everybody knows it's not China or Russia. We don't have to say what it is that we believe can be learned by our adversaries. We need to say we see these things and they exist and they're not from China or Russia. If I got that much so that people have to say, like the Director of National Intelligence did to a Washington Post major reporter in the National Cathedral, alien extraterrestrials, I will be happy. If we say we believe this is from extraterrestrials, I will be completely happy. And the testimony can go, we are trying to decide what of the information we have we can disseminate because we believe you and the American people know. Here's there. It's not from here. Here's what we know. Here's what we don't know. And because you have directed us to figure out how they are move, why they are here, who is in there, what do they want, and so forth and so on, here is how we're going to tackle that problem. So I guarantee you the committee is going to ask how they plan to fulfill their obligations under the new laws. That's number one. And number two, we're going to have a much, much more complete report than we've had before, at least at the unclassified level. And I suspect the classified level report will be even more detailed. And as you know, it was largely contested as to whether or not there were amazing videos. And now we know that those on the inside saw amazing videos and other things. And it was enough to get the Congress all up in arms and saying, enough is enough. We're going to have some answers. And I just think that's where we're going.
Is this enough information that they would spread it, they being the United States government, spread it to their allies?
I believe that we're already seeing motion by our allies. I mean, let's give your favorite example, and maybe you can segue in any way you want. The Japanese and the Canadian governments have now said they're going to look into it. They're admitting there's an issue, and they're going to look into it. Well, that's a big deal, because before, every single one of our allies was following our lead and being quiet. And it's time to stop being quiet. So the Canadian and the Japanese, for example, are no longer being quiet. They're going to look into it.
So will the United States government, or is it a pattern of the United States government, whether it's privately or publicly, going to be sharing their findings with their allies?
I believe there will be classified sharing of information with our allies.
Okay. If that does happen, does that mean an international task force on UAP would then be next?
Okay, so we already have operating agreements on how things go with our allies when we share intelligence. So we will say, here's what we're doing. By the way, this is classified, so here's what we're doing, and here's what we know. And then our allies will say, well, look, this is classified, but under our agreement, here's what we know and here's what we're doing. And that's kind of how it works back and forth. And then at very high senior levels, working groups are formed, some from us, some from them, some from this one, some from that one. They sit together in a room and decide on actions they will take together.
what is at the heart of this phenomena and the reason why it's coming out, Bob? I know I've asked you this question before, but the information keeps shifting. Do you think that there is a reason this needs to come out now after 70 years of cover-up? And I don't think it's about pissed off politicians.
Oh, no. I just keep – look, I came out, Dave, way back when information started flowing in and around the government, and it was clear that something was going on, and I came on the outside and saw what was being said outside, what was being said inside, and I determined that I just knew something was happening. And I made a few guesses and talked to people who seemed to be involved. We're trying to assess what the phenomenon was doing. And some of these people told me that there are deadlines, that something's going to happen in about 3 or 4 years. And what that is, I cannot definitively say. But I know that there are people who are listening to the people that are claiming something is happening, something is coming. And the determination is, what is it and what does it mean? Why are they coming or doing or whatever? And some action will be taken, and there's preparation for whatever this event seems to be. And I just keep hearing that something is coming, and we don't know what it is in the public. And I think there's just going to have to be some facing that there's time. It's time for telling.
Hypothetical question here: is it possible that we, even though they're not releasing it, is it possible that maybe a signal or a message was returned with a date stating this is when we'll be here?
I've had multiple people say that to me, but I don't have the ability to reach into the systems and see whether or not that actually happened.
Okay.
I went on the outside, and now I am fully on the outside. Last Friday was the end for my lifetime of my clearance.
Okay, I understand that, and thank you for your service. Well, hypothetically speaking, what is your opinion now on that?
My opinion is that something is known, and preparation is being made to as succinctly and as carefully and as responsibly as possible start giving indications of what that something is.
What do you think that something is?
I hope it's visitation, but I just don't know. I don't know the details. I wish I did, but I don't. I hear, and I don't know who to believe, because some things I'm hearing are in conflict.
Let's go to Shelley. From someone who experienced something bizarre, why would our company mention a certain organization, a certain name, and gave certain warnings? Any thoughts, Bob?
The question is too open-ended without enough specifics for me to figure out exactly what's intended. I apologize for being thick, but I don't know what I don't know what organization is being talked about. So I'm very sorry.
I think our company means the extraterrestrial company.
I don't know the answer. I just have to admit, I just don't know the answer.
All right, let's go over to Mark here. Should we start burrowing under the foothills?
Well, I intend to stand out in the open and look. and Dave and I want to go for a ride.
Very true. The scowling Greg O'Brien is asking, is it conflict by design?
So is it a false flag operation? No, I don't believe it is. I just don't believe this is a false flag. I don't care what Stephen Greer says and all of his allies. I don't believe this is a false flag. I believe something is known, and that's what's precipitating, after 70-something years, all of this action.
How can the allies help out with this? What can they do? What could Canada do?
Well, they can interact with our government entities that they are supposed to interact with, and we come up with common goals,
common aspirations, common approaches, and share information with each other. Information sharing and planning based on that information, planning together, will help. So look, let me give you a hypothetical. This is not me saying this is what this is, but I'll give you a hypothetical. Something crashed in 1947 in Roswell, and we took some stuff that didn't belong to us, and we found some people that were not from here, and we did something with them, okay? We did something with the stuff, and we did something with the people, and we've got this message, hey, we're coming for our stuff, and we want our people. That would be ominous, and that would be a thing that people would want to cover up, and I'm not saying that's what it is. But something like that might be what it is. And it could be something much less ominous than that. It could be, hey, we love the way you look. We like your planet. And we've been hiding under your oceans for the last several hundred years. And, you know, we set up a city down there, and we're going to come up and say hello. I mean, it's just so many possibilities. Without more information, we have no way to put a box around it. We need information. Melinda's right.
Good old Melinda Leslie in our chat room tonight. Former guest on this show.
Yep. We love her.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Okay, so let's move on here to the aspect of crash retrievals. Do you see this coming up in the public forums on Tuesday?
I am not certain, but I'm going to tell you. More and more people are walking right up to that line and talking about implying crash retrievals. They're walking right up to the line. And I think that's kind of the last line that people are reluctant to cross for fear of being prosecuted or persecuted. So it would be my hope. It would be my hope that we cross the line.
Judy is asking, do you think the United States government is working on how to monetize info release? Info on this subject would shift funds from the war machine, maybe.
So I don't believe the U.S. government will work on how to monetize it. I think the U.S. government will work on how to lessen the impact of new technology, new information, et cetera, on economic systems and military systems, so we have a way we operate. And so if the information is disruptive, you have to figure out how to mitigate the disruption, or society ceases to function properly. So I agree that this is a cause for concern. We want to minimize the impact of disruptive information.
And how is that completed?
We like everything else in the government, when there's a crisis, the Congress meets, gets all sorts of advice, and it either does a good or a bad job of passing rules, laws, regulations, etc., to deal with it. It does the best it can do.
Makes sense. Science Bob is here. For Science Bob and Friends on Spaced Out Radio. Bob, we got about 3.5 minutes before we need to head out to break. Let's go to Ray Finn's question. Dave, would the Canadian government hold hearings about UFOs, UAP? Let's see how it works on June 1st when Member of Parliament Larry McGuire is here to talk about the subject. It has
a lovely name.
Yes. He's a G-U-I-E-R, though.
That's all right. One of my relatives forgot how to spell.
Well, that's okay. I don't see government hearings as of yet up here. They are still keeping the topic up in Canada very, very quiet. There wasn't an explosion on news regarding the CTV News article about former Defense Minister Harjeet Sajjan being read in. So we are in a little bit of a flux here with it. Hopefully we'll be able to open those doors up when we interview Larry McGuire on June 1st. So that'll be very, very interesting indeed. But, you know, Bob, the more we open up that conversation,
the more other countries are going to pay attention. Because if the United States is going all in, the allies are going to have no choice but to go all in as well.
I totally agree, because we interoperate with them. And we, the NATO, at a minimum, would have to figure out how to operate with us in dealing with this, especially if we are planning on figuring out how to deal with any potential threat, whether it's real or not. I do need to wash the lawn tractor before the weekend.
I got to get mine fixed beforehand. What are you driving? A John Deere?
John Deere.
Yeah. See, I got a Craft.
Yeah, but I'm telling you what, it is a nasty, dirty thing. I'm going to have to clean the air filters, et cetera. It's nasty.
I have to get my my mower tuned up before I get going. My Craftsman, it's you know where the double blades are, that big plate. I always forget what it's called.
Deck.
The deck is riding crooked.
I
got to get that fixed. Before I can have a nice clean lawn. I don't know how we got on lawnmowers. Oh, we'll blame Nicole Sackage for that. We will blame her. I may just go buy another lawnmower.
I want a 0-point turn, all electric.
I like the tractor style. I do.
Yep.
But my problem is my mower is so old, it doesn't have a cup holder in it.
Oh, yeah, that won't work.
Yeah.
My John Deere has a cup holder.
Yeah, I'm going to need a cup holder. I'm going to need a cup holder. What kind of riding lawnmower should Dave get for 2022? We're going to put a poll up.
Come on, let's get back to UFOs.
UFOs. We got 45 seconds here, Bob. Is the military, like the United States Air Force, going to try and stay quiet on this?
Again, the people that are coming, they're from the services, but I just, until such time as the Air Force figures out it's not going to be slammed to the deck for 1947, I believe they're going to try to stay quiet.
You don't think they'll get called on the carpet?
Yes, I think they're going to be called on the carpet to some degree, and we're going to have to see how much. Well, I mean, we have to wait and see. We only got to wait a few days. But it's time for the Air Force to get called on the carpet, because they have tried to stonewall, and Congress is not having it.
All right, Science Bob and Friends continues. When we return on Spaced Out Radio, we will take more audience questions from our chat rooms, as we normally do, and we will continue to talk about the big news. We'll even get into a little bit of Lou Elizondo going into the darkness. We'll be back on Spaced Out Radio right after this. Bob, you chat away. I'm just going to head to the bathroom, okay? Sorry about that. Your mic's on mute, Bob.
Yep.
Christoph, what's happening, buddy? What's the matter, Bob? You okay?
You are rotten.
All right, let's get to, we got about 35 seconds here.
It's always good when bad things are avoided.
30 seconds. Big thank you to Nicole, Bob, Vash, The Impaler, Vaughn, Surf Jer, and Dutch Hank for the amazing super chats. Very much appreciated. Do me a favor, put your questions in capital letters. It'll be easier for me to ask them from Bob, because there's a lot of movement in our chat room tonight, and we're going to get going here in about 5 seconds. Stay tuned, everyone. We passed the halfway point of Spaced Out Radio tonight. Good to have you with us. My name is Dave Scott. Very much appreciate earning your listening ears wherever you are on this beautiful planet we call Earth. Want to say hello to everyone who is tuning us in tonight and remind you that you can listen to all of our archives for free by going to youtube.com/spacedoutradio. Do old Davey the favor, hit that subscribe button. Our website is spacedoutradio.com. We have a plethora of features for you, including rocking out to Bumblefoot, reading Shirky Poo's Newswire. Check out our swag as well. Follow us on Twitter at Spaced Out Radio, Instagram at Spaced Out Radio Show, and on TikTok at Spaced Out Radio. We continue on till the top of the hour with Science Bob and Friends, where Dr. Bob McGuire comes in once a month to break out of the woo and into the who, what, where, when, why, and how of everything paranormal. Bob, we're going to start off with some audience questions here. Christoph, and he wears a beret when he goes by Christoph, by the way. Science Bob, why do we call them extraterrestrial? That indicates extra terra, land, not outer space.
That's a good question, and I answered in the chat, but let's answer for our entire audience. I don't really know the answer. So because I'm not completely certain about what all this is, I call it the phenomenon. And I don't know whether they are from another planet, whether they're from outer space, whether they're from another dimension, whether they're from another universe. So let's call them phenomenon and just do the best we can to ascertain what they're about.
Okay. Let's get to another question. This one comes from Vaughn in Edmonton. That's for Nicole, actually. Can Nicole's books be downloaded to e-readers? I'm not sure. Nicole will have to answer that question. All right. Let us move on here on Spaced Out Radio. Evan is asking, have you ever been approached by federal agencies regarding this topic, Science Bob?
Yes.
Care to elaborate?
So when interacting with others who are in the field, say some of my experiencer friends, I've been asked to find out things about it, and I make a decision based upon permissions I get from other people who are experiencers, whether or not I'm willing to pass along the information. In other words, I'm not going to pass along in secret. I'm going to say, some people want to know some of this. Are you willing to tell me and willing to have me pass it along? And sometimes the answer is yes, and sometimes the answer is no, but I feel that I have ethical standards that I won't cross, and so there you go. So I've had people who have briefed very, very high in the White House, and they have said things to me and asked me questions, and I've given them what answers I know, and that's that. I just felt it was my duty, so I did it. And I do my best not to divulge classified information, but I try to do what's asked if I feel it's ethical.
Let's go to Melinda Leslie. Bob and Dave, that's you and me, Bob, what do you think is the best outcome we can likely expect from next week's hearings?
My own personal opinion, the best outcome we are likely to get is they are not from here.
I think that the best outcome we are going to get next week is a beige-painted Volvo four-door station wagon, which hauls out a big sign that says, UAP are real, and we're still not sure if it comes from Russia or China.
I do not believe Congress will stand for it.
I think publicly, that's what we get. Privately, a whole different story.
So I know of one or more people in the Congress who have gone to constituents and supporters who do not have security clearance, and more than that was said.
Well, I hope so. I hope so. I really do. I don't want to be a negative Nancy here. I really don't. But I don't have faith after 70 years of useless cover-ups that they are going to all of a sudden give us the juice, give us the goods, give us anything that we have been holding out for years. I don't trust it. And like I said, a lot of people may not agree with me. A lot of people may say we need more. My job is to sit here and say, I don't think we're going to get more. I really don't.
I get it. I totally understand. Look, there's reason to believe we're going to get bupkis. There's reason. We have 75 years of experience. But something is changing dramatically, and Congress seems to have had it with the cover-up.
And once again, I hope so. But you know what? There was all this tough talk, Bob, right before the DIA report, which ended up being, to quote you, a nothing burger.
It was a nothing burger that caused a law to be passed. That was the difference. There was no law. There was no order by the president who signed the law. And that's the difference, is we didn't have the National Defense Authorization Act and the budget, and now we do.
But the thing is, we know that Marco Rubio, Tim Burchett, and Kristen Gillibrand, and others, Mark Warner, had been shown videos that were much better than what we saw. Proof,
right?
As Lou Elizondo said, those people have seen what all of us want to see.
Yes.
Right? So
they have seen that which has been characterized to me as science fiction.
Right. And I don't think they're going to give it to us.
I don't believe, I actually agree with you there. I don't believe we're going to see those fancy videos. All I want is an admission that whatever is happening is not from here.
Okay, so let us reframe the question before we continue on here. What is a successful outcome?
They admit they are not from Earth.
Beautiful. I would accept that. I would accept that.
I think that's likely. I hope it's more. I hope we find new people who come out and tell us amazing stories and show us amazing evidence. But I would be happy for an admission it's not China or Russia. And it's ridiculous to say it's China or Russia. Look how inept the Russian army is in Ukraine.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Very true. I mean, hey, when you're holding GPSs in your MiG-29s on by duct tape, that's not good. That's not.
And they try their stupid GPS jammers and spoofers, and a little old bald-headed guy wearing a fedora puts some satellites up and says, "Hey, they're jamming your GPS. You better do something different." I mean, no, they're just inept. They are a giant with clay feet, and so they are not building UFOs.
That would be, if that was the outcome of the public hearings, I think we all win.
We win! Because nothing will stop the floodgates from opening.
Does that also then give the U.S. government and or its agencies the ability to still cover up what they do not want the American or world public to know?
So, there will be aspects of it which will always be covered up. We are not going to reveal capabilities of classified systems operated by the U.S. government and its allies.
And they get away with not having to admit communication has potentially been made.
That's exactly right. I believe that I hope that if we have a message, we hear that we have a message and we are studying it.
I love it.
What a headline that will be.
I love it. I love it. I can work with that. I can work with that. All right, let's get to a question from Misfits. Bob, would you ever visit Skinwalker Ranch?
So I've had conversations with Brandon Fugel and Eric Bard, and the answer is yes, I would visit, but what I would need to do is put together an actual proposal that they believe would benefit their effort. and to have the time in order to do a credible job. And between COVID and us, this is not evoking sympathy, but it's just fact. Between COVID and the passing of my mother and father, it's been a rough 2 years, and things are coming out of it and changing now. So I will reevaluate looking at season 2 and 3 of Skinwalker Ranch on TV and see whether or not there's something I believe I could add, because I don't want to get in their way. I don't want to visit just as a tourist. If I go, I want to do something, and otherwise it's a waste of my time.
Tropenbend, new to our chat room, asking Science Bob, why is Lou Elizondo no longer available in public?
I don't know why you would say that. He's been all over podcasts. Now, when he came on Dave's show, he said he was going to end his set of appearances, and it appears he's winding down. And so the statement is from both Skyfort, which is Lou's company with Sean and others, Sean K. Hill and others, that job well done, and we're going to hand off to others. That's number one. Number two, there's been a great cost to Lou and his family, and I think he feels it's time that he take care of his family and himself lessen the stress in his life, increase the income in his life, increase the happiness in his life. He's been a public figure since 2017, and it's time for him to that's 5 years Lou has put up with this community's crap. He's been persecuted from the highest levels of the Pentagon, and he has beaten them, and he has gotten what he wanted out of the Congress, and it's time for him to take care of himself and his family.
How big of a loss is it to the UFO community that Lou Elizondo goes dark? Whether it's for a short period of time, a long period of time, or permanently?
It will be a loss. I mean, I really like Lou. He just listen to him talk. He is clearly an honorable man trying to do the best job he can for his country and the world. I believe he thinks that something should be done, and it should be come out more, and actions taken, because he's worried about us not doing the right things. And I just think he has managed to win the day in terms of the National Defense Authorization Act, along with Chris Mellon and others.
Let's go to Black Dragon. Bob, do you think this is all about who controls the information?
Yes. I absolutely do.
Can you go into detail about that?
Well, I mean, suppose we have craft, and we know they have unusual and exotic propulsion, unusual and exotic energy sources, and we can't figure out how they work. Okay, that would be, if we got that admission, it would be awesome. Admitting this says to our adversaries that whatever they may know, which might be more than us, is an advantage to them, and so they may act on what advantage they have. I'm just telling you, these are complex issues, and so what is wanted by those whose job is to ensure the national security of the United States, for that national security not to be harmed, and for our abilities to defend our nation and its people be maintained and held intact.
Okay. Let's go on here. I'm just scrolling through the chat room, seeing if we have any more questions. Christoph is wondering, will they ever open up about Antarctica?
Boy, I hope so. I mean, as you leave the South Pole, there is this kind of massive area. And it has some unusual features in it, which you can look at on Google Earth. And it's a no-go zone. Nobody's allowed. Why? Okay, so that's one thing. And
go back and look in the news from the last several years. Buzz Aldrin and a bunch of other people took off on what looked like a joyride to Antarctica. And we know about this because Buzz Aldrin had a health problem and had to have an extremely expensive medevac out of there. Why were they all going to Antarctica? Something is going on there, and we need to, I would love to know, but I don't know what it is. But you do not take people like Buzz Aldrin and other dignitaries to Antarctica for a sightseeing trip.
True. True. All right. Let's continue on here on Spaced Out Radio. Science Bob, we got about 7 minutes to go here. Let's get back to the Elizondo factor for a second. Who do you think replaces him? Is it Sean Cahill? Is it James Lukacsky? Is it someone else?
So both Sean and Lou have intimated, hinted, that there are other people about to come forward. And that Lou also hinted on one podcast that he had learned things in the last few weeks that made him satisfied with the reasoning given for some of the activities and some of the control of information. And it seemed that that was the bifurcation point between old Lou and new Lou. Old Lou knew something was going on but didn't know what. New Lou, I think, has been told some things because he said so on a podcast. And the things he was told said, okay, now I believe we have people in place that are doing some things and I'm no longer needed because the right people are dealing with this. I think he said, I believe the right people are in charge and I support their efforts and therefore I'm gone. Hey, Pascal.
Question is, who replaces him? Do you think it's a name that we know that we don't know?
Sean Cahill could potentially replace him. He's certainly an extremely erudite spokesman. I mean, he's a philosopher. He's well spoken. He's very bright. He's very capable. But I don't know who the choice is. It's clear that it is clear that there is a group of advisors who are running the disclosure train. And I don't know who they are, so I don't know who the choice is.
I still think it's Cahill. I know Jonathan.
That would be great, because, I mean, Sean is a terrific person.
Yeah, I know Jonathan Davies, our good friend, doesn't agree with that. But, you know, he's a guy who also, you know, does not like breakfast for dinner either. So, you know, it is what it is. I think that it is going to be an interesting subject. It's going to be interesting to see what happens to Skyford after this, as it's now dissolved. What do they do there? Do they go more into the media side with television shows, or do they stay behind the scenes, working the angles, trying to get more in? But, I mean, look, if they come out on Tuesday, Bob, with 4 minutes to go here, and they say, we now know that these craft are not from Earth, this is going to open up phase three of this entire process, which is we are not alone. And that would make sense, Bob, considering over the last number of months, how many dignitaries in this field have come out and started using the ET words.
Yep, including the Director of National Intelligence, Avril Haines. She said it in front of the world in the National Cathedral. Being interviewed by a senior Washington Post reporter. And I'm just telling you, I just think that if we do not cross the line, we're going to come so close that there's no doubt. But I want to cross the line. I would like to be told, we do not believe we have any information whatsoever that these things come from Earth. That's what I want to hear.
Gosh, it'll be interesting, man. It will be so interesting. You know, I mean, it seems so close yet so far away, Bob, you know, where are you going to be on Tuesday watching this?
At home. So I'm on business travel, setting up a new business, and I'm returning home Friday, and I will be at my home watching.
Yes. Yes. I may create a panel that night.
Oh, that would be great.
I may.
Why don't you?
I may create a panel that night because I think.
Well, I mean, we did the last time. We should this time.
We probably should. Nicole, if you're still listening, we're going to create a panel that night, and I'm going to get my booking team really upset with me. But that's okay. Christina Gomez is our guest that night, so we could put her on the panel as well.
Yeah, of course.
And that would work very, very well, and then we'll reschedule her on a singular level. But I think it's going to be very important for us that night to have a UAP panel coming out of what happened that day because, hey, it's news. It's what's making the world turn right about now. And, you know, I'm very excited about it, Bob. I'm very excited about it. I would love to be a fly on the wall during those private meetings, though.
Yeah, of course you would. So a possibility would be if it's a nothing burger, go ahead and have Christina and let her do her thing. But if it's not a nothing burger, dude, we need to have a discussion. And she probably would be all for that. I mean, you can make a decision.
You know, the
dynamic.
The only thing I do not look forward to on Tuesday is seeing Nick Pope repeat everything that we have already heard.
And saying not one D-A-M-N new thing.
That's, you took the words right out of my mouth. You know, you know what Nick Pope's worst enemy is?
Himself?
Velcro. If you look at his hair, oh, yeah. Velcro is his worst enemy. You know?
Yes. And we just have one set of documents after another coming out saying he was a clerk. He didn't do any field investigation. He filed records. He was a clerk.
Mm-hmm. He's never been a journalist and either.
The American people just love a British accent.
But he's never been a journalist either. And he's now claiming on his resume that he is.
Oh, man.
Yes.
Whatever.
Yes. Being a Nick Pope. Do me a favor, Science Bob, tell everybody where they can get a hold of you.
Well, let's see. So I'm on Facebook, Bob McGuire _N4HY. I'm on Twitter, Science Bob on Twitter. And you can reach me by interacting with me at either of those places. And you can write me emails at rwmcguire@gmail.com. I may or may not answer depending on how busy I am.
Science Bob and Friends will happen again next month. And next, let's head to the swamp. Swamp Dweller returns with another spooky story. All right, we're clear. Bob, I honestly ran out of questions that last 15 minutes, man.
We did good. We did great.
Yeah.
We hit a lot of territory, dude.
I hear you. But anyways, I will let you go here, my friend. I got to prepare for the swamp. I haven't even got the news ready yet. But
oh, my goodness.
Let's get ready, though, for Tuesday, though, okay?
Looking forward to it, man. Talk to you.
All right. Talk to you later.
Good night.
Good night. Be right back, folks. All right. Old Davey is back. Got about 90 seconds. And Giorgio, how you doing, man? Justin, good to see you. Mike Gambale, nice to have you here. We're going to get going here in just a few minutes. Thank you to Doug, Pascal, Nicole, Hank, Surf Jer, Vaughn, Vashti Impaler, and Science Bob for the amazing super chats tonight. Wonderful way to support what we do on this show on a nightly basis. So thank you so much. Also, don't forget you can get your SOR swag on our website, spacedoutradio.com. And, of course, we're here 7 days a week. You got Jessica Jones, the Cryptid Huntress, followed by After Hours, starting at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern. And here we go, everyone. Let's have a good final hour here.
Would you like to connect with us? Head to spacedoutradio.com for all your latest show info. Now, back to Dave Scott and SOR.
Third and final hour of Spaced Out Radio is now underway. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us. My name is Dave Scott. Very much appreciate earning your listening ears wherever you are on this beautiful planet we call Earth. We want to say hello to everyone listening in on our terrestrial affiliates around North America and digitally on Odyssey Radio, TalkStream Live, and KPNL. All of our archives are free. Join us at youtube.com/spacedoutradio. Just do old Davey the favor, hit that subscribe button. The Desert Clam has set the password for tonight in the SOR Space Travelers Club. YARPA. YARPA is your password. Use it wisely, Space Travelers, as the Clam sets the password each and every night right here on Spaced Out Radio. Our website is spacedoutradio.com. We have a plethora of features for you. Rock out to Bumblefoot, read Shirky Poo's Newswire, check out our swag as well. Follow us on Twitter at Spaced Out Radio, Instagram at Spaced Out Radio Show, and on TikTok at Spaced Out Radio. Let's head over to the swamp, where our resident swamp dweller has another spooky story for us.
Hi, Spaced Out Radio listeners. This is Swamp Dweller. It's time for your nightly dose of spookiness on the show. If you have an interesting encounter or a spooky story that you would like to share, be sure to submit them in at swampdweller.net. You can also find our YouTube channel at youtube.com/swampdwellerreads. Now, let's chill out, relax, and together, let's enter the swamp.
It was in 1971. I was in my late 20s. I was then staying in Rose Hill, Mauritius, not married yet, and staying at my folks. One day, my dad came home with a South African couple. He met them while coming back, and they were tourists visiting Mauritius with their back bags, tents, and sleeping bags. Mauritius was still safe in that period, but independence was given by Great Britain in 1968, and a civil war had just come to an end a few months before. Two communities had fought for some political reasons. Anyway, my dad invited them home to sleep over for a few days. I remember the guy had a big blonde beard. He was very kind. His wife was as well, but I forgot her face. We decided to organize camping during a week on the west coast of Mauritius in a place called Flickenflack. This place, which is now pretty developed, was at the time very wild with just a few houses. We went on a Saturday morning, found a nice place to put a tent, and organized the day. The South African man and his wife were very good swimmers and divers. We spent a lot of time in the sea, catching fish, crabs, some lobsters, which were getting scarce then. We don't find them anymore by the coast, and cooked all these goodies on a small homemade barbecue set. All of us, Mom, Dad, the couple, and I, really enjoyed the day. The sunset was beautiful. It was warm, and we were in summer, and everything was perfect. When night came, we were preparing a nice barbecue with chicken, beef, and pork, and a few shrimps we had caught earlier. This night was starry. My dad was happy and drunk, and the couple were obviously having a great time. Since we were not fluent in English, I was improving then, communication was a little bit difficult, but we could make ourselves understand with gestures and sometimes drawings on the sand. It was a great fun seeing my dad trying to converse with them with a very limited knowledge of English. Anyway, it must have been around 9 p.m. We were all seated on the bench, waiting by the ocean as the starry sky was beautiful and we were sitting by the campfire. Then, we started to hear what sounded like a complaint. We could not determine the sound of it, but it was like a woman wailing. It was faint but clear. Since the place we were at was wild and remote, the wailing was not consistent, but it could be heard from time to time. We put it on to some sorts of animals, since we were not people living on the coast and being ignorant to the animals which might have been active at night. We were seated on the beach, facing the ocean, when suddenly, we noticed someone coming out from the sea on our left at about 30 to 40 meters away. It looked like a woman with a long white dress just walking from the sea to the beach. We could not see her face, but could guess that she had long hair. The only lights were the stars in our bonfire. She silently made her way straight and disappeared from our view into the vegetation. We found this very odd. I knew it was not normal, but did not know what others were thinking. My dad was drunk and watched the scene with a little smile on his face. I think he was lost in his thoughts. We all looked at each other, and we had no idea what to think. I tried to check if there was a house where the woman walked to. I stood up and walked towards the sea, and looked to my left to see where she went. There were only green bush and trees. There were no lights or any constructions around. I was now scared, because I realized that we must have seen a ghost. I walked back to the bonfire, sat down and told everyone that I did not find any house there. We stopped talking and everyone kept alert. We could now hear all the little noises of the night. We heard faint crackling like someone or something was quietly walking on dry leaves. Then suddenly, we heard loud flapping noises on a tree nearby. It looked like large birds, pigeons or bats, flying away. It scared us. Then my mom told me quietly she felt something was not right. I and her were feeling like we were being watched.
That eerie feeling of being watched. Who ever knew how freaky that would be? God, we love the Swamp Dweller around here. You can listen to him each and every night here, Monday through Friday, on Spaced Out Radio. You got his YouTube channel, which is over 264,000 subscribers, and it is awesome. Go hit subscribe, youtube.com/SwampDwellerReads.
Nobody's going to know.
They're going to know.
The fedora-wearing John Hudson, who's only John Hudson 33% of the time, comes on in for the update on the unbiased UFO report. And we love it when John is here because he gives us all the up-to-date news on what is happening around the UFO world. John, how you doing, buddy? Good to have you here.
I'm doing well, Dave. I'm doing well. How about you, man?
I am great. I had a great show with Science Bob. And,
yeah,
you know, and my phone didn't stop ringing today. Did not stop ringing today.
Now, let me ask you just briefly, because so we don't get delayed. But how many of those calls are people trying to get information from you, and how many of those calls are you trying to get information or hoping to get information from others, and they're like returning a call?
Actually, it was really weird today. I woke up to a message from Darcy Weir, documentary director and producer. Asking me to voice over a couple of his brand new documentaries that he's filming right now. I'll be starting that this weekend.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. And yeah, we had a really good conversation, and I like working with Darcy. I think he's a good fellow. And so I'm going to be doing that. And then,
Dave, hold on a second. Wait one second, Dave. Stop. Dude, that, forget your career, forget what you've done for a living, forget all that stuff. Just for a moment in present time, take pleasure implied in yourself that basically you have not only been born with, but developed a voice where anyone would actually pay money to listen to it. Congratulations.
Well, then the next one would be, and then about an hour and a half later, I get a phone call from a television producer in Vancouver who wants to hit me up for some ghost stories for a potential new television series in Canada that is going on and being filmed right now. They're trying to get it picked up. I can't say much more than that. So I may have to share some ghost stories there. And, yeah, talked to Merle a little bit today, Nicole Sakic a number of times today. You know, I'm surprised I haven't got her number memorized yet. You know,
about ghost stories is it touches such a wider group. You know, there's so many people out there that even if they don't have a personal story, they have a family member that has one, right? And to me, like spirits, spiritual stuff, even though it's not my thing, is much more pervasive in society. And so in some ways, I think it's almost more interesting to study and talk about just for that reason.
For sure. For sure. And I'm very much looking forward to it. And, you know, I think I would like to us to do a little bit more ghost stories around here. I know our audience is more UFO encrypted type, but I got to figure out a way to get more ghost stories.
Honestly, Dave, part of the problem is that most other stories end up being like 95% story and then like 5% something solid, right? And the problem is that most ghost stories end up being purely stories. You know, it's one of the other reasons why I retell my stories, because I had two different people witnessing the same object from two different places. So, I mean, at least that is something. I mean, but even that is very loose, you know, relatively useless data. It's just better than just a story. So I think that puts the paranormal stories into a much more tighter spot.
Well, you know what? I still would like to do a little bit more on the paranormal
side. Oh, I agree.
You know, but you need stories, though. And, you know, it's not like, what kind of gear do you use? What kind of gear doesn't work for you? Oh, you use that? Like every paranormal podcast out there, you know. But
right.
I don't know. I tend to flip out, John, when I hear paranormal people talk about doing scientific experimentation. That's a trigger for me.
Oh.
Yeah. Because you know they're not.
The thing is, it should be a trigger of vigilance, but it shouldn't be a trigger that causes you to lose hope. Because the truth is there's a lot of practical ways science can be applied in increments, in certain environments, that does actually help, right? You know, so it's not like this all or nothing thing, you know?
I don't know.
No, Dave. I honestly, man, I've listened to you talk about this several times, and it's probably one of the few things that you and I are in incredible alignment with, and that is just the frustration of the way science and hypothesis, no, and that's the worst part, they're not even throwing around hypothesis wrong, they're throwing around theory wrong. It's like, anyway, yeah, so I understand, and I just, you know, we truck on.
Very true. Very, very true. All right. What do you got for us tonight there, Fedora John? I know you were like a kid in a candy store listening to us last night with Christopher Sharp from Liberation Times.
Yeah. So basically, you know, what I wanted to do was kind of turn this on you again and get you to talk a little bit because, you know, for me, you know, and what we're talking about is Christopher Sharp from Liberation Times was Dave's guest last night, and specifically talking about what Christopher has been hearing and so forth as far as these hearings that are coming up and so forth. And you know, personally, I was a little surprised. He actually seemed to have a little bit of inside knowledge. And I'm always a little impressed by that when it's, people that are off soil. But there's certainly great examples, like Tim. And I was surprised that, I was a little bit surprised as to, you know, some of his assessment of it, just because, you know, I don't know, for me it's a little challenging to become too preemptively negative or positive, because of how little we know. Unfortunately, he does know more than I do, so there might be good reasons for some of the things he said, but I'm curious, like, you know, what were your expectations versus reality? What did you get out of it that you found really, really curious?
Well, the one thing that and that's a good question, the one thing that I really liked about Christopher Sharp from the Liberation Times is how he was calling things down the middle. You know, he has a preference. He is very pro Lou Elizondo, and that's okay. But he knows and he has the professionalism to be able to call it down the middle and just present the facts the way journalism should be. And I think between the current state of journalism, which has evolved into siding with political parties and whatever their agendas are in the mainstream, combined with what we see in the podcast world, where people are more expressing their opinion rather than the facts that run down the middle, I think it set a real dangerous precedent for trying to acquire proper information. And I have, over the last couple of months, really been looking at the work that the Liberation Times has been doing, and I think it's absolutely great that we have a group out there in this field that is really trying to call it down the middle. They are connected, they get good sources, they get good information, and in the end, that's how proper journalism starts. It's not about, you know, trying to slide in Lou Elizondo's agenda or Chris Mellon's agenda or be some kind of puppet media account. That's not what it's about. It's about trying to call the story down the middle to the facts that are happening. And I think that Chris Sharp yesterday really brought that. I really do.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. And the thing is that it's so hard to play that line and then not show some. The problem is most people show emotion over their opinions, and it's the emotion that gets people to watch you, and so they end up getting pulled to opinions. But you can get emotional about the process. You can get emotional about the presence of it, the theater of it, whatever aspect of it you want. And you know, I was really glad you brought this up, because I made a note of this and I totally forgot about it. There were several times in that talk where Christopher specifically called out, where he would say, "Now here I'm speculating," or he would say, "Here I'm," and he was so careful to say when it was that he was stepping out of that middle line, right? Being very clear about it. And very cool, very very cool. I think it's an interesting comment to everything that we're seeing, that even though the U.S. is this bizarre center point of UFO, at least event activity, at least as we know it, and what I think we're starting to see is we're starting to see a lot of the really standout people at different places in the journalism, you know, pipeline, are popping up from different countries and are really, are not only bringing a lot of cool value to it, but are really, I think, kind of illustrating something I think we all forget. And that is that no matter how many times you think a magazine's been done, no matter how many times you think a newspaper's been done, if you can find a cool new angle, it's amazing how people will actually, pivot to you. And, I think Christopher, Sharp and everyone else over there at Liberation Times is doing a great job, but I was pretty impressed with some of the information you pulled out. I thought it was really good.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how everything plays out, because I think there's a lot at stake regarding the success of the hearings next week, John. And that's something we talked with Christopher Sharp about. I mean, with Lou Elizondo going dark, we don't know for how long. With Sky Fort now calling it the day because they had mission accomplished, with the public hearings coming out, you know, it's going to be very interesting to see, A, what the results are on Tuesday, and B, whether or not more activism towards disclosure of the UAP phenomenon needs to be pressing forward again. You know, I mean, there's a lot going on right now.
I agree with everything you're saying. What just hit me while you were saying it that's bothering me is this realization that I came to, that that hearings of this magnitude, when you're in a hearing of any sort, and certainly when you're in a hearing of sort of this magnitude, the last thing you want is to be surprised. That's the last thing you want. And the higher profile it gets, the more effort is put into making sure there are no surprises. And so I would have to believe that this briefing is going to be, if not 100% orchestrated, probably 80-ish% orchestrated. And some of that orchestration is normal orchestration stuff, you know, deciding who's going to speak when and, you know, putting the right people in front of the right people. And because you can really kind of skew someone's argument by just putting the right person in front of the wrong person if you really know what you're doing, right? So I agree with you. I think it's going to be very, very, very interesting. I'm excited.
Let me ask you this. What is your opinion on what comes out Tuesday during the UFO report?
It's probably gonna irritate people. It's okay though. The first time. For me, I've already gotten out of it what I wanted. I mean, essentially what I wanted was it. Right? What happens? I'm not really expecting much at all. I mean, cause the thing is that the way they're caging this hearing, it's a hearing trying to get rid of the stigma around, I mean, like, it's kind of like having a hearing to get rid of superstitions. You know, it's kind of an umbrella idea, and it's really meant, I believe, to kind of, I don't know, the way I'm hearing grumblings, I'm really starting to think that there is going to be one orchestrated spectacle of some sort, but I don't think that that's necessarily, once again, going to be anything that's going to convince someone like, you know, I don't know, pick your favorite, you know, skeptic, right? Now, I would sincerely hope that what we would get out of this briefing is a very, very clear idea as to what we want that next briefing to look like and what we don't want it to look like. Because I don't know how much they're going to be looking at. I mean, there's not any, the precedent they're going to be using are going to be like briefings about, you know, pork features and so forth, right? So, you know, I don't really know if I don't know. I'm worried about that part.
As we got about a minute to go here before we got to go to break at the bottom of the hour, John Hudson from the Unbiased UFO Report is here tonight. John, with the hearings, I mean, we heard Dr. Bob McGuire earlier on state that he believes that we are going to hear from the public hearings that these craft are not of this earth, confirmed 100%, which opens up a huge Pandora's box to what's next. What do you feel is going to come out of this? 30 seconds.
There's a very good chance that they will say something like that. However, them saying that might not necessarily shift anyone because essentially they've already heavily hinted at it. So I don't know if it's going to move as much rock as we hope it will.
We're going to get more into it with the fedora wearing John Hudson when we return on Spaced Out Radio, as we love the Unbiased UFO Report from the fedora wearing one. You know, when John takes off his fedora, he literally loses all of his powers. He does. That's why he wears it. Spaced Out Radio continues with the final half hour of the show when we return right after this. Stay tuned. All right, we're clear.
You know, I think I need to sit down and like write up my thoughts when it comes to historical UFO cases, because I'm finding myself getting emotional and irritable at the repeated askings of people for historical coverage. And it's not for lack of empathy or understanding, as I used to be in that same mindset, and I do understand it. I just find myself getting very irritated by it, and I need to figure out why, because it doesn't really make sense. And so I think I need to go think on this for a while, because it doesn't make sense that it would bother me so much, but it really does. Because I guess to me, oh, anyway, we can talk about it later, but to me there's an accountability aspect to the historical aspect. And I don't know if that accountability has value if it's not dripping in revenge.
Body Tech, good morning to you over in the UK. Tony Montana, welcome back.
Hey, Dave, if you do that thing ghosting, you can have my story if you want.
No, it's about the Gold Rush Trail.
Oh, far out. So it's going to be specifically, yeah. Oh, neat.
Yeah.
Oh, oh, wow. Oh, Dave, that's going to be cool. Ooh, that would be neat.
Oh, yeah. So we'll see.
Did you have a Gold Rush in Canada?
Yeah. Dude, the Gold Rush Trail starts in Nevada and California, comes right by my house here, man.
I figured it. I didn't know if the gold went all the way up there. So basically up through British Columbia?
Yeah, right up to the Klondike.
And so you guys had did it boom all along that range? Or was it like just the Klondike area? And
dude, there
is
so much gold. Apparently, when they built the new highway here, the rumor is at one part of the highway, they accidentally covered up and built the highway over like gold that is worth like $8 to $15 million right now that was hidden. Because what used to happen, John, is when the guys struck it rich up here, there was no police at that time. The Gold Rush Trail was the reason why the Northwest Mounted Police were invented, which became the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. And so it was a lawless area, and there was murders and robberies on a daily basis. I mean, literally, you know, it...
I'm sorry. I just had this vision in my head of like you know, like Billy the Kid getting faced by Dudley Dude like...
Dude, Billy the Kid was up here, man. Billy the Kid.
I know, but he wasn't getting hunted by anyone in red shorts on a horse. I mean, sorry.
Yeah. And, well, the funny part about it is, at first, the Northwest Mounted Police weren't allowed to carry guns. Yeah. And then it got a little dangerous, and they allowed them to arm themselves. But, I mean, it's...
Dave, I'm not kidding. If I was out and I got into a fight and I found out that the officers didn't have any, I'd swallow them one. Just one. I mean, you could share it, but that's just rude. How do you do that to people? That's just awful.
This is history. And so what would happen is a lot of these guys who found their gold on their way down to show it was safe, they would hide their gold, then travel down, and if they got robbed, they would be empty. And then they'd wait for the robbers to leave. They'd go back, get their gold, and then go to the next part. And some of that gold was forgotten or lost because people were murdered. People disappeared. They forgot where they put it in a drunken stupor, you know.
So it was this constant phrase where they would go down a ways, they would bury their gold, they would go a bit further, wait until they got robbed so they knew where the robbing was going to happen. Then after they had nothing, would go back, get their stuff, and move on, and then start the whole process over again?
Exactly.
That's insane. That is insane.
Well, it's insane in a 21st century.
It's like a Gummy Bear episode.
In a 19th century, it's not very sane. I mean, it is very sane. Pardon me. Here we go, everyone. We're rounded third. We're heading for home tonight on Spaced Out Radio. Good to have you with us. My name is Dave Scott. Very much appreciate it. Want to remind you that if you missed most of this show or others, check out our free archives at youtube.com/spacedoutradio. Do old Davey the favor. Hit that subscribe button. Our website is spacedoutradio.com. We have a plethora of features for you, including Rocket Out to Bumblefoot. Read Shirky Poo's Newswire. Check out our swag as well. Follow us on Twitter at Spaced Out Radio, Instagram, Spaced Out Radio Show, and on TikTok at Spaced Out Radio. The fedora-wearing John Hudson is here for the unbiased UFO report, and we talked about earlier on about Christian Sharp from the Liberation Times, who was on yesterday, and, of course, the UFO hearings that are coming out next week. John, welcome back.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Dave. You're happy to be here. Yeah, no, it's really funny because I think that, I think that everyone's doing a decent job, at least, of kind of trying to temper everyone's excitement, because when you really get down to it, we're all kind of talking about this in very kind of even-keeled tones, but, there's something happening on Tuesday that a lot of us really didn't think would ever happen. Ever. Ever. Sure as hell not in the near future. This is, you don't want to kind of encourage people to get over exuberant about it, but, when you really get down to it, this is pretty big freaking news. I mean, this is pretty epic.
Well, being that it is big news, is it necessary news?
50 years.
Is it necessary?
Is it necessary? Is it necessary that they're telling people that they're having the hearings? Or
That they're having the hearings.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, come on. I mean, well, okay, look.
You can get it. So you can do it.
Could you argue? I'm just trying to think if you could. You could. There's a way you could argue that the public doesn't really have a need to know ever, I suppose. But it would be some real fancy logic, man. To me, a lot of this was not a question of if, it was a question of when, right? A lot of this really always was a question of when. And for me, hearings were a question of when. And I consider myself to be a pretty optimistic person in general, and especially with some of the people, compared to some of the people I hang out with. And I was thinking maybe 5 years. I mean, come on, Dave, did you really think? But yeah, of course it's necessary, because the thing is that what we have going on is we have a defense agency, and we have an intelligence agency, and along with that we have a space agency, where essentially some percentage of the objects that they're encountering on the job are of a completely unknown origin and appear to demonstrate unknown physics. So you want to say it's 2% of the objects they run into? I don't know. 5%? Well, what's 5% of the budget? Right? I mean, that seems appropriate, doesn't it? So what we have here is we have a massive asymmetry in the way the problem is being addressed by the intel and defense agencies, not for lack of desire, not for lack of competency, but because they haven't been able to tell anyone they had a problem. Think about that. That's just sad, right? So this is a truing up. This is everyone coming home and getting honest, sort of thing.
Well, we need some honesty. We also need transparency. And there's a big difference, John, between honesty and transparency.
Well, two different things. Because you can be very dishonest about how non-transparent you are. The thing is that the challenge is that until we get a completely different agency within the government who is in no way, shape, or form in the path of defense of the country, okay? That they are not in a defense mindset, right? They're not in a adversarial mindset, right? Until we get the bulk of that out of those groups, there is always going to be a large element of what is learned that's going to stay classified, because it's going to have strategic advantages. It's going to have technical, it's going to have fear factors. It's going to have motivation and even humiliation and even intimidation factors to it, right? A lot of people don't know this, but our F-22, you know, we do not fly that into certain areas because it's too advanced and the asymmetry that it would present would actually be a problem. Think about that, right?
What kind of areas does it not fly in?
Basically, we will not send it into an area where their Air Force is so far behind as to make it so that there's absolutely no point in them even taking off. Because that sort of asymmetry between your force and the fighting force that's coming for you can cause such intimidation and such psychological damage that it's not worth it. It causes people to act irrationally.
Wow. All right, final topic for you tonight. Let's get to Airbnbs on Mars. Is this another Elon Musk thing?
No. I sent you a picture. Can you throw it up, or can you not do that?
Well, let's take a look. Oh, yes, I've seen this picture, and I was hoping that you were going to bring it up. So this photo, John, explain it for our radio audience who's not going to be able to see it.
So this is a photo that was recently taken. I don't remember the exact time. I think it was – I want to say it was September. It was very recent. And basically what it is it appears to be, let's just say that, it appears to be a large piece of irregular stone that is some number of distance away from what appears to be a very rectangular opening inside a hill, essentially. And it because of the angle, because of the way it's cut, because of all the things involved, it really implies that there is a tunnel there. Now, the truth of the matter is that opening might only be 3 feet deep, right? We don't know because we don't have enough camera angles to it, right? However, what I find very interesting is that over the day, we did get more and more camera angles presented, and we did end up with some pretty interesting discussions about, what might eject a rock that size. The problem is that the implied geometry of the inner cavity, I got to be honest, it really does. It's a damn fine optical illusion if it's nothing, right? But then, with more photos start coming out that were adjacent to this one, and you end up with one of the panoramic stitch togethers where you can see the front of the rover in the photograph, right? And in that photograph, it changes the perspective, and it basically gives you the impression that hole and that rock are significantly smaller than they appear in this picture, that they may not even be, even child size, that they may be much, much smaller than that, right? It's very hard to tell because you don't have any of the metrics on distance and because there's no like significant land marks, judging distance on Mars, I can't imagine how accurate anyone is on that. And so, the thing is that one thing I find kind of interesting is that if okay? So if you believe that there's an intelligent, independent species, coming to Earth, and if you believe that these things can evolve anywhere else, and if you believe that there are lots of them evolving in lots of other places, then you really shouldn't be so, uppity about how big we are, right? Because ultimately, how do we know that, the first intelligent life we run into isn't going to be 12 inches tall? You know? Or quite honestly, this might not be the result of an intelligent thinking creature. Maybe it was the work of a semi-intelligent, animalistic creature that died how many millions of years ago, and for some weird reason, the tunnel persisted. Who knows? My personal opinion, if that geometry is as clean as it looks, I would almost argue that if you can come up with a natural process to explain how that happened, the natural process might actually end up being even more interesting than a crazy one, because it's a very man-made looking thing in particular. No matter
John,
how big
it is. Let me cut you off right there, because you know, with this photograph, it's black and white. It seems to show a lot of imperfections on there. But on my screen, when I look inside this tunnel, to me it looks like there's power lines in there to lift and the door and bring it back down. It looks like there is some sort of mechanics in there to lower the door. I mean, this is a real, real interesting shot. What we haven't heard from you yet is, where was this picture taken and by whom?
Well, you know, what's really interesting, Dave, is that I don't see what you're seeing when you say that at all. I was really surprised to hear you say that.
I got a great view on my big screen, man.
Yeah, no. Well, I can zoom in quite far, and I can see the fissure in the wall. This appears to be a stress fracture that appears to be running down the side of it. But
or is it a power line?
I would fire anyone that ran a power line like that. Like, that's sloppy. I don't know. I suppose. I don't know. My assumption, even if we find something that we discover was actually made by an intelligent creature, my first assumption would not be that it's one that's still alive, right? My assumption would be that it could be one that's still alive, and it could be one that died 3 million years ago.
But back to the photo, where on Mars was this
allegedly
taken? Oh,
I'm sorry. I apologize. That one, I apologize. I had that, and I was looking for that information right before the show, and essentially that's why I was very close to not making it, and I apologize. I can't find it at the moment. I know it was a Mars rover. I know it was either ours or it was a European group, but I'm pretty sure it was ours, and I know it was within the last 6 months.
Wow. I'm surprised a photo like this, if real, was actually released.
Well, you know, you could almost argue that is in itself almost an argument against it being something really dramatic, because you might think that if it's really obviously dramatic that you would that there would be some kind of a reaction to that, and then they might not release that picture for some reason, right? Whereas they did release the picture very cleanly. And the thing is that we've seen it, like, I don't know if they're still doing this, but for a long time, they were releasing things like frame numbers and things like that. So you could tell when they cut out frames, right? Like, it was not, like, it didn't take rocket science to figure that out. Now, Dave, I'm sending you another picture right now. And this is the conglomerate picture that is a bunch of pictures stitched together where you can see the shadow and a couple pieces of the rover down in the corner. And then if you look out, there's a red circle where I didn't do that. Someone else did that, where they're circling the actual opening. And that basically is another view, is that red circle up on top. That's actually the same opening.
So that's either made for rats or little aliens compared to the size of the drone, or it is very far away and you can't really tell the size.
Yeah, I mean, I would be surprised based on what I'm looking at here if it's, I'd be surprised if it was more than like a foot tall. But the thing is that if you find something that is completely geometrically perfect and obviously made by intelligent hands and it's only 12 inches tall, it's still a big deal, right? I mean,
I see that.
Like, you're only going to talk to aliens that are over 6 feet?
Hey, happens to me at the bar during my single days all the time. Oh, you're not 6 feet. I know, but I never won.
I thought you were. You're not 6 feet, dude.
No. I didn't even make 5'9", man. God couldn't even give me 5'9". He ended me at 5'8", 3/4".
Oh, wow. Wow, crazy.
Drives me nuts.
Yeah, well, if it makes you feel any better, I was supposed to be like 6'2 or something, and I lost it because I started smoking. So I had it and gave it away.
Wow. You know, that's a Red Hot Chili Peppers song right there, buddy. Give it away, give it away, give it away now.
Oh, man, that Blood's, that was a hell of an album.
It really was.
That was one hell of an album.
Johnny, my boy,
wow.
Great night. Thank you for another great.
Thank you. Yeah, and I please don't let all of our discussion like sway you all too much. Like, go look at the picture, look at some of the discussions out there. It's a fun picture. It really is. It's a fun picture. To me, this is one of the first pictures I've seen in a while that I actually do think is fun to talk about. A lot of the other ones, eh. This one, this is cool. This is pretty sweet looking.
And John will post them on Twitter and tag it at Spaced Out Radio if you want to check it on out there. Let's get to Shirky Poo's news. Thank you, John.
What time is it?
It's time for Shirky Poo's news.
Yes, we take the news very seriously around here. I'm going to start off with in Maine with a pair of drunken stories. Yeah, it could have got away with it too if it weren't for Maine's Belfast Police Department. An intoxicated Maine man was arrested for trespassing early Monday after trying to hide from police underneath a blanket. Yeah, officers responded around 9:30 p.m. to the Admiral Ocean Inn in Belfast for a report of a disturbance caused by a drunken man identified as Philippe Delude. Yeah, police removed Delude from the property and told him not to return or else he'd be arrested. When police performed a sweep of the parking lot around 12:40 in the morning, they said they found someone hiding in a chair with a blanket draped over them. Police pulled the blanket off to reveal Delude hiding underneath it. Here at Belfast Police Department, we have seen some crafty ways of hiding from the cops. This, unfortunately, was not one of them. Yep. Poor hiding choice. You know, it's like, you know, when you're a child or if you're a parent, your child plays hide and seek and they go hide under their blanket on their bed. And you're like, oh, where'd little Jackie go? Where'd she go? And you hear the giggles. That's what this looks like. Horrible. Horrible. Guy probably lost every game of hide-and-seek he ever played. Sticking in Maine, a driver said she was following her GPS navigation system when she made a wrong turn and crashed into a local police department over the weekend. But authorities say, no, wasn't the GPS. It was because she was drunk. The accident happened in Portland when a 26-year-old woman drove through the Portland Police Department garage, across from a pedestrian plaza, and then tried to drive down the stairs to Middle Street. Yes. Oh, she did a good job on her SUV. There's going to be some write-offs there. She said she was following her GPS instructions, but responding officers felt there was something a little fishy about the situation and a little stinky on her breath. So they decided to do a DUI test, and of course, she lost once again. Police said it was fortunate the woman didn't strike anyone during the incident. No injuries were reported, and police said the crash resulted in minor property damage. Moving on, this is one way to get kicked off Tinder. A Rhode Island kickball player named Gianna Pachia was banned for life by the social media dating site when the service discovered she was using the app to recruit teammates for an adult kickball league. One day I went to log in and it said, "You're banned for life," Pachia said. "For life? It seems like a little severe," so that put a huge deterrent in my recruiting. A Tinder spokesperson says that the company reviewed its decision and found that Pachia was banned appropriately. Pachia, dubbed the Kickball Cupid, says that she found 25 players through the app, including 18 for her team, and another 7 to help fill out the rosters of others in her league. "I would host dinner meetups with people who were interested so that they could meet other people in the league. If we hit it off, and they liked everyone's personalities, they were added to our team. If they wanted a more competitive team, I would assign them to a different team who was competitive and looking for players. What a waste. How many guys try to take her out for dinner only to get kickballed?
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs, government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what...